This is Sharon Jones of Sharon Jones and the Dap Kings, and you're tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM Accra.
Catskill's Hope for Humanity Pride Parade steps off at 2 p.m. Saturday, July 31st, down Main Street to Dutchman's Landing at the Hudson River Park for an all-ages celebration from 3 p.m. to 8 p.m. with face painting, a rainbow sprinkler, and other activities. Music by the Deadbeats. There's also an 18 and older drag show from 8 to 10 p.m. at Dutchman's Landing. That's the Hope for Humanity Pride Parade, Saturday, July 31st, starting at 2 p.m. on Catskills Main Street and heading down to Dutchman's Landing. Find out more in the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Heather Lloyd of Kinderhook, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to wgxc.org and click donate. Thank you for your support.
Who listens to radio? That go where you go medium called radio. That's with you every night through the long commuter fight, and in the morning with your toast and mama lady-o. Who listens to radio? No matter if it's summer, winter, spring or fall. Who listens to radio? Only 150 million.
This year marks Wave Farms, WGXC's 10th year on the FM dial. During the past decade, the station has become an important resource for the communities we serve as we bring lively, creative content to radio lovers of all ages, as well as providing opportunities for important but neglected voices to be heard. To sustain this effort, WGXC needs your continued financial support. WGXC offers diverse, high-quality music content curated by humans and responsive to listeners. The station delivers local news, important because that is the best way to learn about issues in government and politics, and generates quick and on-the-spot information. And WGXC remains the only FM station in the country committed to radio as an art form, dedicating substantial airtime throughout the daily schedule to experimental sound programming produced by artists near and far. As we reopen our broadcast studios and welcome our on-air programmers as they return, we are preparing for a lively summer, including new programs and expanded community outreach. Your contributions have a powerful impact on our lean operation. That support is what makes it possible for WGXC to deliver exceptional programming without commercial interruption. Listener support makes a world of difference now more than ever. So if you feel so inclined, please go to wgxc.org/donate and become a sustaining supporter of WGXC. Welcome to another edition of Wave Pharmacy. I'm Jen Cutler, and this is my co-host, Tim Light.
That's me.
That's you. In case this is your first time joining us here, Wave Pharmacy is a radio talk show and series of sound pieces which invites guest engineers and mental health professionals at the tops of their respective fields to attempt to solve listeners' issues with their skill sets. Engineers on the show use engineering, physical, and mathematical principles to solve emotional, relationship, and mental health issues, while mental health professionals use counseling, behavioral, and mental health tools to attempt to solve technical problems. As always, if you're interested in submitting your question to us, whether it is emotional or technical in nature, you can do so by emailing us at wavepharmacy@gmail.com. That's wavepharmacy@gmail.com. We are honored to have Tamar France as our guest this week. Welcome to Wave Pharmacy.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for being here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background and experience in counseling and mental health care?
So I have a very non-traditional background in mental health, and with that includes being trained as a social worker, not getting my license, but immediately hitting the field and working in the field as a social worker. I've worked with high school students, doing field work with them and doing house visits, like traditional social work. I also worked for 2 years as a affordable housing counselor for an assisted living facility in New York City. And throughout the years, I've had various opportunities to volunteer and just continue contributing to the social work field. So it's very integrated into my life, particularly as an artist. I'm also an interdisciplinary artist. And I feel like my social work training and experience really informs my practice as an artist and just as a human being in the world trying to do the right things. So, yeah.
That's beautiful. So let me ask you a different question. Do you have any experience working in technical fields?
Technical fields, define technical field. What do you mean?
Engineering, technician. Have you ever been responsible for somebody else's tech of any kind? Plumbing, I don't know, carpentry.
Podcasting.
Okay.
If we count media making, definitely. Like, studio, tech stuff, absolutely. Not quite professionally necessary. Throughout most of my time in school, I've always been working in media and media centers, working with people, working on my own media. So, yes. Okay. Not formal, but definitely have it.
Okay, great. Have you ever used your mental health care skill sets to help address your technical issues?
I think, yes. Yes. I think, there's a saying, once a social worker, always a social worker. You get training and experience in how to deal with people, how to deal with different personalities, how to work across differences. And I think that definitely informs everything I do, down to how I, introduce people to technology and work with their challenges. Absolutely. It has impacted the way I speak to people. It impacts the way I write questions and, engage in conversation. So definitely.
Awesome. So it sounds like you're natural born for this radio show.
Yeah. Yeah,
awesome, because I wasn't sure if I fit in the bill.
Oh no, this is exactly where we're trying to go. So, are you ready to take a look at some of the questions and start going?
Let's go.
All right. Okay. Here is our first question. I'm wondering about the logic of assigning computers static IPs on a network over letting them run DHCP. I have a basic understanding of what each means, but is there a benefit to letting a machine that is stationary on a single network run DHCP, or is it more stable to assign it something static? And this comes from a long-time, extremely dedicated WGXC listener who will remain anonymous.
That's probably best. So how much of a control freak are you? Is really, I think, the next question. And,
harsh, man. Harsh.
I don't know, what are you using the computers for? My problem is I attack all these problems like a technical person and not in a caring way. But,
I mean, it's...
That question was like French to me.
Yeah, I can clear up a little bit to try to bridge the translation gap here, but effectively, DHCP is a way that a networked device can obtain an IP address from a router. So, for example, you show up to a local library and you have your laptop and you want to use their Wi-Fi. The router looks through all of the users and all of the devices that are on the network, and it assigns you an IP address which is not in use by any other device. It's not all that exciting, I can tell you. And then alternately, you can give a device a static IP address, which means you assign the device an IP address manually and it never changes. So it doesn't ask the router's permission. It's just like, I'm here and this is my IP address. And the router's like either, okay, great, or the router is like, oh, that's interesting. There are two devices that have the same IP address. I guess I'll just send everything to everywhere. It's not usually that cut and dry, actually. Just weird things start to happen. It's like a mental breakdown of a router, in a way, you know?
Got it.
If I had to liken it to an emotional issue, I would say something like, you're growing up, you're a small child growing up, and somebody is doing you harm and telling you that they love you and that's what love is. Except you have this IP address, and they're like, no, but I'm 10.0.1.210. And you're like, yeah, but he's 2.0.1.10.0.1.210. And he's like, no, but this, what we have here, is 10.0.1.210. It's very confusing.
Boy, there's a whole, you could peel back a whole layer of things. Just imagine, you know, what if you had a server with an IP address, and then one day its IP address changed, and all of a sudden, you're looking around for your parent, you know, your little server at .209, and they're gone. They've just vanished from the network.
It sounds like gaslighting.
Yeah, think about the abandonment issues associated with that.
Listen, I can tell you from
the server you want.
I can tell you personally that this question stems from some very real abandonment issues regarding IT. That there's no question. This IT has abandoned. And then it works just enough to string you along, and you think, okay, maybe I'm safe. And then boom, outage.
Now, this is a tough one because this, you know, from a technical standpoint, has many answers depending on many different situations. So from a social work standpoint, boy, we've got our work cut out for us.
Yeah.
I think we do.
All right.
Yeah. So now that we've cleared up what DHCP is and what a static IP address is, how do we know which way is the better way to go?
Well, we don't know because we don't know what the network application is. What's on this network?
Which network makes you feel safe?
An IT person.
Which network?
No network. That's another tough question to answer because depends on what kind of network it is. I'll say here at my house, I have a hybrid. I have statically assigned and dynamically assigned IP addresses. It depends on what I'm connecting to the network.
Tim, let me ask you a personal question.
Oh, no.
How many of those devices can hear every word that you're saying and broadcast it to whoever they choose?
Let's see. Out of all of them, probably 8 or 9, but all of those 8 or 9, I think, are in the dynamic range. I don't think any of my printers and things can hear me talk.
Yeah, okay. But what about that makes you feel safe?
Oh, I mean, I just know that that printer will always be at that IP address every time I need it. I can guarantee you that my HP DeskJet 2540C will be at 192.168.100.2, and it will always be that way. So whenever I'm feeling insecure or need something printed, bang,
dude,
here they are.
Listen, because here's the thing that just happened. You just announced publicly the IP address and the model number of your HP printer. And so what's interesting...
There's a private IP address behind my box.
A stable connection.
Hey! Come get me. It's got the latest firmware.
Oh, yeah? So you put your faith into HP, is that what you're telling me?
Absolutely not.
Oh. Well, then who's engineering the firmware?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? I'm sure it's fine.
Okay. Is it running embedded Linux? Sorry.
Who knows?
These jokes are meaningless to anyone except me and Tim.
It automatically turns off.
Oh, okay.
You have to get it at the right moment.
So there's safety in a device that automatically turns off on your network.
Ah, who knows?
Uh-huh. All right. So it's about feeling safe. Is that what we're saying?
I don't know. I think that's, you know, of all of the... Of all of the IP networking to social work links, I think that's the one that's resounding with me.
Well, here's the thing, though. Would I imagine, like, a real professional IT guy, like that dude in the basement, you know, who drinks a little too much?
Uh-huh.
Maybe he's really into Dungeons and Dragons, or he used to be, but now he's grown up, but he still doesn't play it.
Stereotyping.
Thinking about one day meeting a woman.
All right, hang on.
Sorry. I have grossly...
have offended our entire listener base.
We've offended Galen? Sorry,
Galen.
What
about the WGXT programmer who shall remain nameless but wants to know about how they should assign IP addresses on their network and is tuned in to find out our answer?
Oh, that's... Yes. They are presumably not an IT guy. And I say IT guy encompassing all genders.
The drunk Dungeons and Dragons basement dweller. That one.
Yes. Actually, okay. What's funny about this, now that I'm thinking about it, though, is that I'm an IT guy.
I mean, you are in your basement.
That's right. Takes one to know one. One day I'll meet a woman. Just kidding. This has gone awry.
Yeah, in the meantime, it's aliens day.
Wait, sorry, what was that? In the meantime?
Just aliens instead.
Right. Yeah, well, that's actually what I'm adjusted to. That's my... my upbringing. Anyway. There we
are. Touching on some sensitive points now.
Yeah. No, that's...
It's okay. We can go there. We can go there. I will hold the space for you to do that. Okay?
I do. I need somebody to hold the space for me to remember what the heck I was going to say.
Yeah.
This is really... Wait, so maybe it's about holding space for the IP address. This is back to the...
Yeah.
There you go.
We're swinging back to static assigned addresses. We are making a space for our statically assigned IPs.
You know, and the other thing that I'm kind of realizing is that this was presented as a very polarized question, right? They said DHCP or static, right? And I feel like you oscillate between these two extremes when something is out of balance. It's either all DHCP or all static. What if you've got more than one NIC card? You know? Balance. What I just said, by the way, is a terrible idea, technically, but it sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
You shouldn't do that.
I said I am statically and dynamically assigned IP addresses on my network.
Yeah, but in one machine?
That, I think, is the best approach.
But in one machine? No. With two NIC cards?
Oh, well, it depends on what you're doing.
But can you do that?
Yeah.
It makes me nervous.
Ah.
Unstable.
Let's explore that.
This has turned into an IT guy therapy session. Let me tell you about my mother. No, I'm just kidding.
What's your earliest memory of Ted? That was a joke.
Yeah. Now we're really getting into it.
Jen, really?
You really got me. That was amazing. I was just like, oh God, it was with my father. It was just Father's Day. He's dead. It was a very complex relationship. No, I don't know. As far as I'm concerned, tech is what happens when you spend a lot of time by yourself.
Ain't that the truth?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
But I think there's nothing wrong with that. It's good to figure out how to be by yourself.
All right, so what's our answer for this unnamed programmer? That they need to spend a lot of time by themselves in a basement, womanless, and potentially drunk, and they just gotta let it sit with themselves. They gotta allow themselves some space to mow over their choices, make sure they only have one network interface card in each of their hosts.
Well, I think we've sufficiently answered this question. What about you guys?
I think we have.
I think we nailed it.
Yeah. This is... All right. Shall we try to tackle the second question?
There's a second question?
There's a number of questions.
All right. Hit us with question...
Let's go.
Number two.
Okay. Number two. My washing machine won't drain all the way. I have an odd issue with my washing machine. It doesn't drain completely at the end of the spin cycle. It does drain during the spin cycle, so I can't figure out what is going on. It appears that the pump is working. It is a front-loading washer, and it is quite old. We have hard water, but none of the other water appliances seem to have any issues. It's starting to smell bad, and I need to figure out a solution. Thank you for your help.
Wait a minute. It's draining and gathering water?
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like.
So it's happy, both happy. Okay.
to everybody who's listening who is not in the studio, Tim is making a face. It's something like a turtle combined with a puppy.
Thanks.
Now it's like a beaver combined with a turtle.
Great. This has nothing to do with washing machines. But wow, this is a good one. This washing machine can't make up its mind.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm not sure what to make of it.
Honestly, it's another example of liminal tech. you know, it really is not quite there. It's in some elsewhere state. I think the person asking the question needs to try and speak to the ghost in the mirror.
The ghost?
For sure.
It's a soggy ghost. Huh?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And just to be clear, when you say ghost, what do you mean exactly? Like, there's a spirit of the washing machine, or like a what Hollywood would suggest to be a ghost, like a kind of ghost?
I think I'm speaking more about the spirit of the washing machine, which would be comprised of all its elements, including the water.
Yeah, okay.
Question. Say there's metal that, you know, is mined and then refined, and then maybe like rubber bits and electronics and PCB board and wires and cables and tubes and all these different materials that come together to create this washing machine. At what point do they have the soul of the washing machine and not the soul of the ore, the soul of the lead, of the tin, of the flux? I guess the flux technically evaporates. It's not really part of it anymore. It's you know what I'm getting at. I'm not being facetious. I'm really genuinely asking this question.
I think if we consider the soul as something that could be a collection of all of those elements, that might help.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Is it when...
It is tough.
When these raw materials have... come together to perform some other function. So, and when it's no longer, sap in a rubber tree, it's no longer whatever steel is made out of. But instead, now it's a washing machine that can wash clothes.
Hmm.
And receive a current, right? Sorry, but also receive electricity and process it. Expel it.
Hmm.
There's something about the collective effort towards like something. The fact that it's all working towards the wash.
So it's like an active synthesis, like changing something into something else.
Hmm.
Is that what we're saying?
I think so.
What?
Okay. So I feel like usually when people talk about the soul, it's like this static, wink-wink, unchanging thing.
You hear me?
And by this logic, I feel like we're talking about a soul as something that is constantly changing, that's never the same.
I would say so.
That's very interesting. So the soul subscribes to the DHCP method. Y'all are muted.
I don't know if I'm comfortable with this analogy.
Well, what part of the soul is static? Is there a part of the soul that's static?
And I'm pretty sure... Well, I mean, if how are we defining static? Are we defining static in terms of like IP addresses? Because I'm pretty sure I'm going to be me until I'm no longer me.
Yeah, but.
So I am buried in the ground being eaten by worms, but.
But would those worms then be you because they've eaten you?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so.
But when dead skin cells fall off, you're different.
Not unless the worms become me.
No, what I'm saying is that right now you're sitting there, and yeah. then you exhale, and the chemical composition of your everything is changing, ever so slightly from your perspective, right? But from like a quantum entanglement perspective. You're completely different from 1 second to the next. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right? Because your nose hair went from here to there, and your eyebrow hair went from here to there.
Sure.
What if the static piece is that matter can't be created or destroyed?
I'm with you.
I'm with you on that as well.
Wouldn't that also be the dynamic piece? Because if you can't create or destroy matter, you can only transfer it into other matter.
Like packets?
We shouldn't have opened the show with a networking question. We've completely derailed.
I can't.
So we've got a quantum entanglement in the drain pump of this washing machine.
Yeah. I think that's what we're saying.
So what does this person do? Their quantum entanglement problem. You gotta clean the filter, is really what you need to do. What's the filter? Get a water softener. You know, that's actually sort of interesting because what does that whole thing mean? Get a water softener. But if you were a washing machine, what is the human equivalent of a water softener? Need to go on vacation?
But I don't know what a water softener for being human would be.
I mean, a washing machine can't really do much without water, so it needs to bring water in order to do its job. And the water softener conditions the water.
Cooking.
So electrolytes.
You gotta start eating your fruits and veg. Is that...
Electrolytes.
So give your washing machine Gatorade.
Absolutely. Smart water. Invest in that.
Electrolytic capacitors. Take the legs out.
Just chuck them in there.
Capacitate.
Bleach? What's the human equivalent of bleach?
I said death. Eliminating, cleansing, erasing. That might be extreme.
No, I said Western culture, so I think we said this.
Oh, there you go. Oh, I missed that. Absolutely.
So the washing machine needs to expand its horizons, I think, is what we're kind of saying. Is it bored? Is that maybe it's calling out for attention?
I think so.
In a not so subtle way.
I definitely think it's a call for attention.
Well, you're not giving me enough attention, so now I'm going to make your clothes reek.
Every disease is an form of isolation. Although, sticking with that concept, I wonder if there's something happening which lets some water through and other water not.
Okay, I think you're onto something. Yeah, this washing machine is not feeling loved. I think it's feeling a little neglected.
Millie rebelling.
Ooh, that's good. It's calling out for help.
What?
And it seems like it's being ignored. You know, like it's sort of just kind of without doing a real diagnosis. Well, I think the pump is working. But do you know if the pump is working? Have you checked if the pump is working?
Yeah. The other thing that's kind of interesting about it is going from this rebellion thing, what is it about rebellion that is self-destructive? Like, this thing is going to fill with mold. It's already stinky. It's only going to get worse. The more it sits stagnant, the more it's going to deteriorate.
Yeah.
Possibly to a point where it can't be repaired.
Yeah, economically. Time to call Sam's Appliance Shop. Get a nice new front loader.
Yeah, but...
50% off Father's Day sale. High efficiency.
What did you just say? You would throw the washer away?
Yeah. What else do you do with a washer?
I feel like the washer's rebellion is liberating for it. I mean, how can it be destructive if it no longer has to be in service to the human? Huge spiders walking around.
I mean, no washer is an island.
Okay.
So, but can the washing machine be liberated by its rebellion?
Yeah, of course.
And
it can.
Maintained at the same time. This is kind of what I'm getting at. This is a slippery slope.
I think the owner of this washing machine needs to stop pretending that it doesn't exist, that it doesn't require care, and they need to get with the program and reach out to this washing machine and give it the love and attention that it is direly seeking.
So maybe the answer is like bringing it flowers and telling it nice things about itself. And
I mean, you could do that.
Perhaps reading a book together. Throwing a contact
like the owner's
in with some boots and making some field recordings. You want to read it? The owner's manual? That's so weird. That's like going to church if you're a washing machine.
What? Maybe the machine is experimenting. You know, maybe it has a project going on. It's misunderstood.
Yeah, you never know.
Yeah, maybe.
Sure, we've approached this from a completely, you know, me human, you machine, you do my work standpoint.
Yeah.
You haven't really considered the washing machine's feelings in any of this.
Maybe it's interested in biology and wants to start a colony.
That's what I'm thinking. I wasn't going to say it. I wasn't going to say it.
Yeah. No, totally. If man can create machine, then machine can create mold.
Plant. Yeah.
Plant. Yeah, exactly.
I dig it. All right. So you know what? I'm completely changing my answer. I think you should leave it alone and let it become infested with mold. Maybe get another washing machine to wash your clothes in, but the washing machine with the mold in it should stay where it is and just let it live its life.
Okay, but hear me out. If you had this experience with this washing machine and it went this way where you've got this rift between you, you don't understand each other, you barely communicate, it stops working, you can't figure out what it wants or why or any of that stuff, and then you just go out and buy another washing machine, have you learned anything? Are you going to have the same thing happen again? What should change in your relationship to the second washing machine that...
Wow! The hard-hitting questions.
That is really hard.
I mean, you have an opportunity to try again. Maybe this time read the owner's manual and follow the instructions.
To your point, Jen, it does read as abandonment.
Yeah.
And avoidance. It's avoiding conflict.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and then the other thing is, are you really sure that you're going to be good with that? Like, are you going to be thinking about the other washing machine when you're putting your clothes into the new one?
Oh, wow.
I would be.
Like, what happened there?
I don't know. If you love something, you set it free, right? Let the washing machine grow mold and live a microbiologically happy existence.
Did the person share how long they've had this machine?
That's true.
Let me check.
Because the question definitely, you know, I hear an attachment. It's definitely there. So I do want to, you know, speak to the care that I see, you know, they're asking for help. So that's there.
All we've got is that the washing machine is quite old, but nothing about the relationship between the human and the washing machine. That's a good point, though. I wonder if this is like some kind of U-hauling situation. It's like 2 weeks in and they're starting couples therapy, aka Wave Pharmacy. When you need couples therapy for your relationship with your washing machine, this is what you call.
Right.
And by call, I mean email.
WavePharmacy@gmail.com. It's pharmacy with an F.
I think this person needs to look inward and try to just spend some time alone on a static IP. Just, you know, on your own, and just be real and do some soul searching and figure out what happened from your standpoint with the washing machine, and get really honest, you know, and you can't get honest without being gentle, and it's hard to be gentle when you don't have clean blankets, so.
All good points.
Ain't that the truth?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think some self-reflection is necessary.
And some hand washing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Awesome. Here's our next question. I have some dimming light switches in my apartment, but whenever I try to use them, the lights go completely wonky and start to blink and glitch. I tried 3 different light bulbs and none of them worked right, so I thought the dimming switch was broken. I replaced it and the lights are still glitchy when I dim them. That's the whole question.
There is definitely not enough information in this question.
Throw the whole house away.
Well...
I'm like pleasantly surprised at A, to throw the house away.
Yeah.
And B, Tim, you got angry. You were like, there's not enough information. What just happened? What happened there?
Because, you know, it's like a personal pet peeve of mine, the part swapping. I just hate people that swap parts without knowing what they're doing or why they're doing
them. Well, that's why they've come to us.
We changed the light bulbs 3 times, but did you use the same type of light bulb each time? We changed the dimmer, but did you use the same dimmer model? Just because you changed it that's not going to change anything.
Are you saying that change is only worthwhile
if it's actually change? Doing the same thing over and over again without actually changing anything isn't going to have any effect.
Yeah. Slow clap.
That may be the most influential thing I've ever said in my entire life.
Well, okay. But from our standpoint, we don't know the answer to that question. We don't know if they used the same light bulb or a different light bulb.
Well, I said there's not enough information. This person is being very deceitful.
Deceitful.
They're not being truthful and honest with their Wave pharmacists.
I too sense the withholding of information. There's something else there.
I may not
we
be
need to interrogate that a little bit.
I bet you they're using LED light bulbs, and I'll even take it a step further. I bet you they're using non-dimmable LED light bulbs on an incandescent dimmer.
Is there such thing as an LED dimmer?
Yes.
Is it different from an incandescent dimmer?
Very. Very. And I wonder if one of those two things is at play. Mm-hmm. could be a whole bunch of other things too, but that's probably the most common. I have this exact same problem in my bathroom, but I just don't care and I deal with it.
So you have like a strobe poop situation?
Yes. I also have a redundant light that is not dim. So if I don't feel like disco diarrhea, I can just turn on the redundant light and leave the dim light off. But they are non-dim LED. No, they're dimmable LEDs, but they're on an incandescent dimmer that explicitly on the package says not compatible with LED. So there's that. Read the instructions. The documentation, always the most important part of every product.
Does writing technical documentation for you professionally make you feel like God?
Like God? No. But why is that the second time that's come up in this case? This is turning into a therapy session for me. Okay, so you got to check for compatibility. How do you do that? We know how to do that from an electrical standpoint. How do you do that from an interpersonal standpoint? Check for compatibility. And stop doing the same thing over and over and over again with expecting different results, but not actually changing anything, but saying that you're changing something.
You gotta communicate.
Ooh, that's good.
Early and often.
In an incandescent dimmer, now I'm going to show my ignorance here. In an incandescent dimmer, is it also pulse width modulation, or is it just pulse width modulation in an incandescent dimmer? And is there some other? Is it like a voltage divider with a variable?
There's all kinds of different ones, but the typical ones, like in your house, use SCRs to chop up.
Right.
The incoming current.
Right, but so for
like
LED
harmonics and stuff. So how an LED dimmer works, I actually don't know the answer to the question.
Well, if I had to guess, it would just be varying the voltage.
That would be a pretty good guess.
So you're talking about two completely different languages. Do they make adapters?
No, I think you just kind of change out the... I think the idea is an LED dimmer is also capable of dimming incandescents, but not vice versa. Because of, an LED dimmer, I guess in that case, would be like a rheostat. So, just.
But that's going to generate a lot of heat with an incandescent.
Correct. It would. It
might burn the house down.
That would come back to Tamara's original response. So, we've come full circle.
Again, exactly. Thank you.
Come full circle now. Perfect. Solve the problem.
This is really awesome too, because I'm just watching Tamara and I'm like, okay, like this is full social work mode. Listening, paying attention. I feel heard, I feel witnessed. It's real.
You know it. A natural, they say.
Yes. All right. So here's our last question.
All right, HDMI. Here we go.
Here's our last question. Why does my HDMI monitor only work some of the time? It's completely arbitrary. Sometimes I connect it to a Blu-ray player and it's fine. Other times I connect it to a computer and the screen stays dark. When I plug in my brother's computer, it works fine. What's going on here?
Are you serious with these questions? Burn the monitor down. Not enough information. When I connect it to a computer? What computer? A computer with a broken video card in it?
You are all fight today.
Yeah. I need therapy after this. Jeez. There's a lot of play here. When you plug an HDMI cable in, there's a lot of things that happen. There is an information exchange between the source and the sink. And if even one of those things is even slightly off, bang, picture gone. So I think, again, we have this failure to communicate. We have, I hate to say it, communication is the key to our show this week. month, whatever, year.
Yes, but I think that it's not just communication, it's flexibility. Like, in what universe are you like, you can send me this bit at this time. Like, digital is so stupid that way. Analog was so awesome, because it was like you could get on the edges of things and, you know, pick up the pirates and whatnot. But this is like...
Well, I mean, well, you know, it's interesting you say that, because there, you know, the whole reason, like, HDCP, which is the, like, encryption technology that allows only certain content to be streamed from one source to one sync, is really just kind of fueled by greed. You know, analog doesn't really have that kind of rights management. In fact, DRM...
Do you not remember trying to descramble, like, HBO when you were a kid? Like, try to descramble all the cable channels?
You mean, like, visually?
Well, yeah. Or
well,
like,
yeah.
Ow. Reading between the waves.
Oh!
You know what I'm talking about.
All right, fair enough. Okay, so it does translate. But, I mean, you could be looking at an HDCP issue.
Mm-hmm.
Or,
are you playing pirated content?
Are you? What's on that all computer that you're connecting it to? Obviously, your brother's computer doesn't have pirated content on it. What are you doing with your computer?
I'm sensing impatience in the question, you know? Like, did this person go down the checklist and troubleshoot, or were they just plugging in, just trying to make it work, you know?
Yeah.
Throwing stuff at the wall to see what sticks.
Mm-hmm. And getting frustrated without really looking at the details.
Well, HDMI is sort of advertised as plug and play. I can sympathize with this person, because HDMI to me is just no man's land. It's almost as bad as Bluetooth.
That's true.
HDMI is definitely not plug and play.
Huh.
Which is sort of interesting in itself, about how it's been advertised and how people perceive it and what it actually is.
I feel like it's similar to the washer question, you know, the assumption that it should be working and it should be easy, but there's more there. There's more to understand.
Yeah, now that you mention that, I feel like people are always saying, what's wrong with this thing? They're never thinking, what's wrong with me?
Oh!
Exactly.
Yes. Yes, there's always this, I'm really getting into this. This is like things that I deal with on a daily basis, so. Yes, there is always this tendency to blame equipment when it is not necessarily the equipment or the software, but instead the person implementing the hardware or the software.
Or the person selling the software.
Yeah, that too. Also, excellent.
It's really hitting home for you.
Yeah, and I think we've named the company or the type of industry that I'm in, so I'm going to leave it there. Not in this episode, but on previous ones. Listen to the audio archive on Wally Pharmacy by visiting WGXC.org. Okay, so HDMI. Yeah, we've got a failure to communicate, and I think a level of frustration here to not fully understand what's trying to be communicated. You know,
well,
it's kind of like superiority complex going on here, where this person just expects their HDMI cable to work in all of the scenarios without putting any effort into it. Jen is beginning to shake her head.
I mean, yeah, right? Isn't HDMI marketed, like you said, Jen, as something that's supposed to be easy? You don't have to think about it. You don't even have to consider the machine you're plugging into.
Yeah, what I'm starting to feel like is that this is such a multifaceted problem. If you really go down the road that led to this moment, you've got, you know, capitalism, you've got advertising, you've got a need for entertainment, you've got money exchanged for goods. Money is really time, you know, unless you're super wealthy, and then it's other people's time, which is weird. Spend other people's time. At some point, I think that the a person would feel like they need to stop working and stop trading time. And especially now, I'm probably speaking from my own experience, but if you work a whole lot and then you just want to unwind, you actually sort of develop a dependency on the things that relax you. And so here you are, out of work, out of time, of money time, of time, and you really need your entertainment. I'm making a lot of assumptions here, but...
I'm with you.
There's a lot going on. You know, and then, well, you're saying, okay, well, we need to figure out what HUMI is actually all about and what it's supposed to plug into and what it's not supposed to plug into. And you're like, okay, well, where do I find the time for that? Maybe the answer is to rest.
Ooh.
I always appreciate tech moments where the machine just needs to rest in order to work. I mean, I feel like it happens a lot with old computers, you know, on their way out. Yeah. I'm also thinking about the input. It could be broken.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we're getting to, right? There's definitely a broken input, so the cord is working.
Yeah, we haven't deduced that it's actually the HDMI cable's fault at all.
Right.
I feel like HDMI always gives you a run for your money, just when you think you've got it working. But that's human relationships, I guess.
Yeah.
It's not just that way with other humans. It's kind of that way with everything.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Why do we think we have this incessant need to think that things that work will never stop working, things that don't work will start working?
I don't know.
Well, this has been loads of fun. Thank you so much for joining us, Tamar. And
agreed.
Before we go, are there any last words that you want to say? Anything you want to plug? Any you want to drop a link or stuff to your artistic work or your behavioral health work or anything like that?
Honestly, just thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun. If folks want to tune in, yeah, I'm the current artist in residence at Wave Farm. So please tune in this Saturday for my show, The Black Garden Project.
And listeners can tune in at wavefarm.org. Or WGXC.org remotely if you are in the Hudson Valley area, northern Hudson Valley, I should say. You can listen at 90.7 FM on your radio dial. And again, donate to the Pledge Drive. We're counting on you. All right. We'll see you all next month. Fade out.
Goodbye.